Starting a new series today entitled The Image of God, entitled Who Am I? And this morning we're looking at this title, The Image of God. One of the things we're doing at the moment, for those of you, again, who have been part of our church will know this, the visitors and perhaps not, we've been doing the Freedom in Christ course, and we've done week five this week, six this week. And what we're doing over these next few weeks, between now and the end of July, is looking at some biblical teaching that supports that ministry, that course, it supports the teaching we've been receiving on that course. I found it fascinating, actually, and interesting for me, as I've listened to conversations within the church. You know, you just be careful of this, because I listen to what's going on, you know. And as we talked about the Freedom in Christ course, and people going, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure about doing it, I think I'm going to do it, no, I'm not going to do it. Listen to the why people are thinking that, and what how people are responding to the idea of doing a Freedom in Christ course has been really interesting. The course is a 10-week course, and then a significant part of the course, which some people didn't do last time, and actually I've encouraged you to think about doing it, and when we had some testimonies, it was one of the things that actually, for some of those people, it was the most significant moment. It's the steps to freedom in Christ that you kind of go through. As part of that, this process is becoming free of the patterns of thinking, the ways of thinking, which are rooted in old ways, rooted in our old lives, rooted in experiences that we've had in terms of how we've been brought up, things that have been said to us, and how those things can impact us without us even thinking it through, without us even knowing it, and it causes us to react in a certain way, causes us to experience God in a different way. And God wants us to be free. God wants us to experience Him in a free, loving relationship, without the strappings and the bound things that bind us because of our pasts. Our identity, who we are in Christ, who I am in Christ, who I am as a person, my understanding of who I am impacts my relationships with other people. And I've watched and I've listened and I've been involved in conversations with people and seeing people acting, reacting in a way which is not because of they're free in Christ, it's because of the things that are the past. The ways that, and the old patterns of behaving and of thinking have impacted how they then react and interact with people. And as we've started to gather again as church, as we started to come back together as church, as God in his grace has blessed us with new folks, and we've kind of had to learn to get on with people in a different way, in a new way, recognizing we're a different church to what we were back in March 2020. It's been fascinating again to see how we interact, how we relate, how we connect, but also to notice and to observe how the past has impacted and still impacts today. So this teaching is not just teaching that's going to kind of sit alongside this. This is stuff to help us in our relationships with one another, in our body ministry, in our community, and our family life. As we start this series, I'm very aware that this particular subject has real impact in our society today. It's a hot topic. You can't turn on the news or pick up a paper, Christian magazine, without coming across the impact of image, the impact of identity and who we are. It's rife, it's all over the place. And as I was preparing today, I was thinking, do I, don't I, where do I go with this? And I've made the decision I'm not going to dwell much on that. If you want to, back in autumn 2019, on the 6th of October 2019, I preached a sermon based on this passage, based on Genesis chapter 2. And it was all about identity, all about gender, all about these issues that are alive now. That is still on the website. You can go back and you can listen to it. You go to the website, online services under resources, you put in Genesis chapter 2, it comes up, and it's there for us. And you can have a little listen to that sermon, rather than me kind of rehash it today. We will cover this material again at some point in the future. It's going to be something we're going to have to talk about as a church. So we are going to come back to the issue of gender. But for today, I don't want us to lose what God needs to say to us today about our identity in Christ in the wider discussion and debate around gender. The key thing for us as Christians is where we start. And for us as Christians, It is the complete opposite of where the world starts on this topic. You see, as Christians, our starting point should be what the Bible says. Whatever we think, whatever we feel, whatever we experience, what does the Bible say? Now, the world would say, well, you start with how you feel. You start with your experience. You start with what you think is the right thing to do. You start with where you're at. And that can create all kinds of issues. I don't know if you're aware of this. This is just something I found while I was kind of researching this. There's a subculture in the world called the otherkin subculture. Now, Wikipedia describes otherkin in this way. Otherkin are a subculture of people who identify as not entirely human. These are people who identify as elves, werewolves, other mystical creatures, or even animals. Now, we sit there, we go, that's barking mad, perhaps. But who are we to say, in the world's eyes, that they can't identify in that way? The world would say, if that's what you feel, if that's what it is, if that's what you believe, then that's fine. What's right for you is right for you, isn't it? It's my personal choice to identify how I want to identify. If I want to identify as an elf, that's my choice. You can't tell me I can't. And that's where society is headed. That's where our world is headed. And it might sound a little bit strange, but that's the reality of the journey that we're on, folks, as a society, as a world. When you start with how you feel, what you experience, what you believe, how your past has shaped you, how the stuff you've watched and read as a child has impacted you and influenced you, we can end up going down these rabbit warrens, these dead ends. If you want to know who you are, if you want to know what you are, how you are meant to be, you don't start with what you feel. Our starting point should be to go back to the Bible, to go back to the ultimate truth that we have in God's word. Absolute truth. Now, even saying that in our society is deemed and frowned upon. We can't claim to have absolute truth, can we? But we do. And we have. And this is it, folks. This is our source. This is what we hold on to. This is what we stand on. As a church, this is our bedrock. Where we start, it's not based on what I feel, what I think, what I've experienced. We start with the truth. And in the light of God's word, in the light of the truth, that we then understand and interpret what we have gone through. It's truth, not feelings. It's not about how you feel. And it's truth, not experience. Now, we might not be those who are identifying as other kin or identifying as gender neutral. But I can guarantee you that in this room right here, right now, there are people who are based their responses to what they go through in life on feelings or experiences, not on truth. Now, I know that because I see it and I experience it. And I talk to people and I listen to people who react in a way which isn't based on truth. It's based on how they feel or how they've been made to feel or the experience that they've had through life. How do we respond? How do we react? How do we relate to one another? We need to come back to truth. We need to understand who we are in Christ. Because when we understand that, that's when we find true freedom. That's what the Freedom in Christ course has been all about. And that's what we're going to be doing over these next few Sundays, looking at who we are in Christ. What is our identity? How do we understand who we are in the light of God's word? So we're going to go right back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, and from verse 26. And I'll read these verses to you on the screen as well. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The first thing we need to know about ourselves is that we are made in the image of God. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. If we take this text seriously, every human being is made in the image of God, has the likeness of God within our very framework, within our DNA. And that truth is foundational to how we understand humanity. It should shape our attitude towards people of whatever background, race, color, opinion. Each one is made in the image of God. There's no room for discrimination in the church. There's no room for racial injustice in the church. We are all made in the image of God. It's based on who we are in Christ. Every human being, every man, woman, and child has the image of God in them. There's a lot of stuff around at the moment. So one of the things I was doing whilst I was off a few weeks ago was reading some of the sort of magazines that came through from Baptist Together and from BMS, from the Bible Society and various other things. Nearly all of them were addressing the issue of racial injustice in the church and how in our very cultures and our very ways of operating, without even thinking about it, there are barriers. There is injustice. There is discrimination. And we've talked as a church about in some of our working groups around the accessibility stuff, that we want to be better understanding if there are any issues that we're doing, if there's anything that we do which is discriminatory, without even thinking about it. Are we putting barriers in the way of people being able to come and worship, experiencing community the way that God wants us to experience it? How do we better understand one another? Just look around. We come from different backgrounds and cultures and experiences. How do we learn from one another? How do we honor one another? We need to understand better how we recognize those differences. There's no right or wrong in the sense of one culture as opposed to another culture. All cultures have good and all cultures have bad in it. And it's taking those cultures, taking and understanding that, being together. But every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being is special. Every human being is precious. Every human being is unique. And so as a church, we and hold up the value and the sanctity of life, the value of the unborn child. We can look at that next week. Every child is unique, whether they have come to birth or not. Every human being is unique, made and created in the image of God. We need to perhaps have a little think and reflect on that. Allow God to speak to us and challenge us. Now, I think one of the things I find, again, in talking this sort of stuff through, it's easy for us to accept that perhaps in relation to other people. But do we accept that for ourselves? Well, it's easier perhaps for us to accept that everyone else is created in the image of God, and we kind of give lip service to that for ourselves. But actually, when it comes down to it, do we believe it? Do we live in the reality that, yes, we too are made in the image of God? Is that something that you live out on a regular basis? If you want to know how much you're worth, how valuable you are made in the image of God. You are created in God's image, bearing his likeness. Now, that's pretty special. Your worth is not based on what someone says about you. Your worth as a human being is that you carry in your body the likeness of God himself. That makes you pretty special. Regardless of what the world would say, regardless of what you think about yourself, regardless of what experiences in your life have led you to think about yourself, you carry in your body, in yourself, in your spirit, in who you are, you carry the image and the likeness of God. The second thing we find in this text is that we are created for a purpose. We're not just made to exist and to just to be kicking around on this earth for a few years and then clearing off. God made us for a purpose. He says he was giving all of creation to man, to subdue it, to care for it. And we've begun to think as a church, haven't we, about our response to the climate crisis. And it isn't because of COP26. It isn't because everybody else is talking about it. It isn't because others are thinking that. It's because actually it's fundamentally important to us to think about it, because it's, our theology is based on this stuff, that God has given to us as human beings the privilege and the responsibility to care for our world, his world. And we haven't done a very good job of it. And it's time that we recognize that and we deal with that. And so as a church, again, we're working through the eco-church stuff to try and be better at understanding where we can make changes to how we care for the world that God has entrusted to us. There's also a second purpose, and that is to be fruitful and increase in number. Now, I know that sounds quite simple, and I know that actually the reality is that for some couples, they can't have children. I know that there are some single people who would love to have family and children who can't because of their circumstances. I'm aware that this topic causes pain and heartache. We can't duck the fact that it's in the Bible, but we also need to acknowledge that it's still pain. This text comes before the fall. It comes before sin and death entered the world. This was the perfect world that God created. But because of man's sinfulness and Adam's choice, sin and death entered the world, and the world as we know it, or the world as God created it, broke down into the world that we now know. Which means that we all live with pain. We all live with heartache. We all live with stuff which isn't right. It might be for some of us that we can't have children. It might be we live with physical pain. It might be that we've experienced stuff in our past because of what's happened in a broken world. For all of us, at some point, in some way in our lives, we live with something that isn't quite right. And that hurt and that pain is different for different people. It doesn't change God's intent right at the beginning when he created the world to make it perfect. That his purpose for us was to create, to procreate, to care for the world. But also to bring God glory, to worship him in the way that we go about living in our relationship with him. If that's an area that you struggle with, if it's an area that is you find pain, talk to someone, share with somebody. Let us pray for you. Don't carry that on your own. Because the enemy will use that to hold you back. The enemy will use that as a constant source of pain. And every time he'll just dig at that, just to remind you that you're not quite there, you haven't quite got it, you're not quite fulfilling God's plan, whatever it might be. He will use it to undermine that sense of who you are, your sense of value. So if you're struggling with that too, share with somebody. And it's been my privilege over the years to have those conversations with some families and some couples and some individuals, to talk and to pray with them through that. And I'd love to do more of that if that's appropriate. So help you to come through to freedom, that you can live the way that God wants you to live in a full and a meaningful life. You know, I do need to mention what I believe the text says, that God created us male and female. It says that in verse 27. And I mentioned this, that I preached this back in 2019, that all the text is there, covered issues of gender and marriage and identity. So do dive back into that sermon if that's going to be helpful for you to sort of understand what I believe about the Bible teaches on this issue. But I do believe at this point, I just need to just acknowledge that in the context of where we're at on this journey, that in our image, in how God has made us, I believe God has made us male and female. And again, I'm aware that for some people that causes great pain and opens a whole shedload of questions. We're not trying to duck those questions. We will deal with them in time, but not for today. The question is, who am I? Who are you? What is your identity? If your identity is based around experience, if it's based around feeling, if it's based around what other people are saying about you, you're like a boat on a stormy sea that's at the beck and call of the wind. As James said, you're tossed around. Where's your anchor? Where's your confidence? Where's your roots? The Freedom in Christ course, this material we're looking at, is going to help us, I hope, to root into where we're secure. And where you're secure is this, that you are created in God's image. You were created perfectly. Now, sin and the world has tarnished that. We live with the pain of that. But God still loves you, still created you fearfully and wonderfully, and we're going to think about that again next Sunday. My starting point is how God sees me, not how I see myself. It's how God views me, how the Creator who made me sees me. Because if the Creator who made me sees me and says, you're wonderful, you're very good, you're amazing, who am I to say I'm not? If the Creator says, I love you, who are we to say, why? Can you? Should you? We need to stand on the truth that God, the Creator, loves us. God created mankind in his own image. You are made in the image of God. You carry in your body the likeness, the image of God. And every human being does the same. You know, and if we have anything in us which causes us to think differently about different races or genders or anything else, we need to bring that to God and seek God's forgiveness on that. We need to understand every human being has the same likeness of God in them. Whether that's tarnished by the world or not, whether that's influenced by the world or not, it doesn't change the fact that every human being is made in the image of God. And that brings challenge to us, doesn't it? Brings us real challenge. Vladimir Putin was made in the image of God. The fact he's doing what he's doing doesn't change the fact that he was made in the image of God. He carries God's likeness. And we have to wrestle with some of this stuff. How we respond, how we relate to people, how we think about people, humankind. How do we see ourselves? Created in the image of God, created for a purpose, to care for creation, to be fruitful and multiply, but also to worship God in how we respond and live. I'm not just a product of evolution. I'm not just a product of some accident. I'm here because God wants me here. I'm here because he created me. Let's pray.